السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون؟ سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى has created within human beings a natural desire to understand and to seek knowledge. This is something that is innate, that has been created within us. And I think that it's a fairly obvious observation. Anywhere you look, people want to know. People have a natural desire to know what's going on, what's happening. They need information about things. You see that the universities and the schools of where knowledge are distributed, they're waitlisted, and people are applying and competing for positions in order to gain more knowledge. This is an innate human characteristic. We as human beings have been designed to seek understanding and knowledge. The mechanism by which we seek understanding and knowledge, there's essentially three. The first is that we have the ability to use our five senses to gain and make observations concerning the environment around us. For example, you can feel something, touch something, and you can tell, is it hot or is it cold? You can look at something and tell, is it blue, is it green? You can smell something and you can tell, does it have a fragrance or is it a bad stench? So this has been this is the first way by which we interact with the world around us and we gain information. And everyone knows these are called the five senses. We can see things, we can touch things, we can hear things, we can taste things, we can smell things. And using our five senses, we are able to gain a tremendous amount of information about the world around us. However, these five senses are limited. First and foremost, they're limited. And second, they can make mistakes. For example, I can only gain so much information about a tree by looking at it. I can look at a tree. I'm looking out this window here. I see a tree. I can see that there are these green things that are hanging from it, that it has these brown things, which we call branches, that there's a big trunk in the center. I can see that it blows with the wind. So I can make some basic, gain some basic understanding about a tree by using my five senses, but my five senses have a limit. Where the five senses end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the second mechanism for gaining understanding, and that is the intellect. We as human beings have the ability to take data that we gain from the five senses, process it in our mind, and make a conclusion about the thing that we're observing. For example, maybe I look at something and it looks very bright red, very, very bright red. And without touching it, I gauge in my mind that this thing must be hot. So essentially what I'm doing is I'm taking information from the world around me, I'm processing it in my brain, I'm making a conclusion I'm making a theory, a hypothesis, and eventually proving it to be true. And then from that, I'm able to then come up with a conclusion. And that is the second way by which we gain knowledge. Now, Essentially, that is the dominant mechanism of knowledge in today's world. It's, you know, the second mechanism of knowledge is essentially called science. Because what are scientists doing? Scientists are essentially making observations. They look at things, they analyze things, they put all the data together. From that, they come up with a conclusion, and based on that conclusion, they then come up with a theory. That's essentially science. I mean, Newton, hundreds of years ago, looks at a tree, he sees an apple falling, he comes up with the idea of gravity. Okay? And yes, science has become more and more complex, but essentially, those elements are the same. Yes, initially, hundreds of years ago, we used to use our eyes. And then 150 years ago, someone discovered the microscope, and so we used our eyes in a more detailed way. And then another 50 years ago, somebody discovered the electron microscope, and so we were able to use our eyes to look at things in a molecular way. And then eventually, the next layer of microscopy was, you know, nanoparticles and nanomicroscopy, and then we gained the ability to look at things in a different way. But it's still limited. It's still using the observations that we make. And scientists, essentially, what they do is they make observations. Based on observations, they come up with ideas. This is the dominant way by which we gain information in this day and age. And for most human beings, or for many human beings, knowledge is capped at this level. Meaning, they have the ability to use their five senses to gain information. After they analyze and gain information, they can use their intellect and they can put together data and they can come up with new ideas. But knowledge eventually ends for much of humanity in that way. However, we as Muslims have been blessed with another source of knowledge. And it's very important for us to appreciate that. We as Muslims have been blessed with another source of knowledge, and that source of knowledge is called wahi, or revelation. See, think about it this way. Where the five senses gather knowledge, where the five senses end, the intellect begins. The intellect has the ability to come up with ideas, but where the intellect ends, there is no other way to gain information. However, for Muslims, we've been blessed that we have one level beyond that, which is that we have been given the blessing of wahi, or revelation, which is the ultimate source of knowledge. It is the ultimate source of knowledge, it is the definitive source of knowledge, and it is a type of knowledge that our hands and our eyes and our ears and our minds could never come up with. And because we've been blessed with this type of knowledge, we have been given an advantage over all of mankind. I'll give you a very simple example. Let's just go back historically to put this in perspective. So in 2007, roughly 2007, you know, 15 years ago, let's say, there was this event which occurred in American history, which was the housing market bubble. Everybody knows about it. What happened was prices of houses were every day going up. Every day prices of housing was going up. In 1 year, people would make 50%, you know, on a house or a condominium. And everyone predicted that there was no end in sight. The economy was booming. The world was booming. Productivity had increased because of technology. They had all these reasons that people had come up with why the housing market would continue to go up infinitely. And the other, you know, idea was that housing never drops. Nobody ever lost any money in housing. So people were piling in. Everyone was throwing money in. Until eventually, you know, somebody removed the punch from the party, and the entire market collapsed. The market collapsed, the economy collapsed, the stock market collapsed, everything collapsed. And then everyone was left saying, I wish I knew. So many people in that period of time, you know, they looked at it and it looked obvious, but they were left saying, I wish I knew. I wish somebody would have told me that the house that I bought for $300,000 was going to be worth $200,000 the next month. I wish somebody told me that the money that I just put in the stock market was going to be cut in half in a year. Everybody was wishing that they had information about what was going to happen in the future, because they would have completely changed the way that they invested their money, the way that they made their plans, the way that they behaved. That's one example of a bubble. And I'll tell you that human history is loaded with examples of bubble. In the 1400s, there was something called the Dutch tulip bubble. In the Dutch society, which was one of the prominent societies at that time, everybody was buying and selling tulips. And they convinced each other that the price of tulips was going to go up forever. People were buying, selling tulips, you know, flowers, essentially, at crazy prices. Crazy prices. Until eventually, somebody woke up one day, and the entire market collapsed. And when the market collapsed, everybody was left with nothing. Same thing happened in early 2000. 1997 to maybe 2000, 2001, the internet was becoming hot. Everybody was thinking about the internet being the next thing that was going to change the world. People were piling in and piling in and piling in, and eventually the entire market collapsed. Human history is loaded with examples of bubbles. You can look historically, it's loaded with bubbles. And every time after the bubble, the idea is the same. Historians look back at that scenario and they're shocked and they say, how could people be so dumb? How? I mean, you think about it today. If I said to you that tulips, well, one tulip costs $5,000 in today's dollars, you would say, are you a fool? How can a tulip cost $5,000? But there was a time when tulips cost $5,000. You know, you look at a house and it's a tiny house with 1,000 square feet and it's $400,000, and you look at it and you say, how could it be worth $400,000? There was a time when people paid $400,000 for a tiny little place, thinking that it was going to double. The problem there was that people didn't have knowledge. They didn't have an understanding. Now, we as human beings have been blessed with the ultimate source of knowledge, which is Wahi, which is revelation. And I'll tell you that one of the greatest gifts of revelation is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us of the ultimate bubble. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us of the ultimate bubble. And what is that bubble? The life of this world. This is a big bubble. This, we exist in a big bubble. It seems so real. I meet you, you meet me, we shake hands, he says salam, I say wa alaikum salam. I go to the store, I pay money, I bring groceries home in a bag, I put them in my fridge. I cook food, I eat it, it seems to energize me. The whole world seems so real. The people seem real, the ground seems real, the entire environment seems real. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that all of this is fake. This is a big bubble. This whole thing is a bubble. It is just a test. It looks like when your bank account is growing that you actually have wealth. No, it's a bubble. Because when you go to your grave, you take nothing with you. It looks like when you have a house that it's something that you've achieved and earned. No, it's a bubble. Because when you go to your grave, you cannot take it with you. The beauty of our deen, it is, has warned us about the things that are most relevant. Now, you look at the world today, everybody's chasing dunya. Everybody thinks that the bigger my bank account, the nicer my car, the more designer my clothing, the bigger my house, I'm somehow have made it. I've succeeded. No, it's not the case. Now, I can't tell that with my eyes. When I look with my eyes, it looks like the person's successful. I can't tell that with my mind, because when I think in my mind, all I see is the world around me and it looks like the person's successful. But no, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the blessed Quran and through the hadith, has told us that this whole world is a bubble. We are passing from this place. We cannot take anything with us. And we know from the Quran that the moment somebody dies, the first reaction they say, I wish I could go back. It's an ayah of the Quran. I wish I could go back so I would do the good deeds that I should have done. You know, just like people say, I wish I could go back, I would have never bought that house. I wish I could go back, I would have never invested in that company. I wish I could go back, I would have changed my profession. I wish I could go back, I would have done better in high school. Those are passing regrets. The ultimate regret will be the day that we die and we go to our graves.
in which we will say, I wish I could go back. Now I see that the whole world was a bubble. There's nothing real here. There's nothing real here. And the only way we know that is because of wahi. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with knowledge to recognize that this is not reality. That this is a temporary abode. That we pass from this place. And that there is something greater that matters, which is our deeds. Otherwise, what's the purpose of life? We become like animals. They collect nuts, we collect money in a bank account. They build a nest, we build a home. They produce offspring, we produce offspring. What differentiates us? What differentiates us is the wahi. Allah has made us noble by giving us knowledge, by allowing us to understand the reality of this life, the fact that we go to the grave, the permanence of the hereafter, the fact that there's a Jannah, the fact that there's a Jahannam, that we have a book of deeds, that there are two unseen angels that are writing our deeds. All of this comes to us from wahi. And it is an enormous blessing upon us. It is what makes us noble. It is what makes us unique. It is what allows us to avoid the bubble. So we as people who have been given knowledge must appreciate that we have that very special state. We should be ultimately grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with knowledge. We should understand and internalize that knowledge. We should react to that knowledge, and it should change the way that we behave with the world around us. That's the beauty of being Muslim. We're not fooled. We're not fooled by the fashion of this world. We're not fooled by the list of the billionaires. We're not fooled by the square footage written on the real estate sheet. We know the reality. We know that we came naked and we go naked. We know that we came with nothing and we go with nothing. We know that the only house that we're going to have, which is going to be much longer than the house that we stay in here, is going to be some 6 foot by, 8 foot grave. You want to know the square footage of our next home? It's 50 square feet. If we're lucky. That's the reality of who we are. And that is just another temporary abode in which we will eventually pass, and we will then go and we will be facing our Creator. And then we go to the permanent place. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. So we as Muslims have been blessed with knowledge. And it is absolute knowledge. It's not this kind of iffy scientific theories. I'm not saying science is iffy. I'm a scientist myself. But what I am saying is that relative to wahi, you cannot compare. Allah is one, done. The Prophet ﷺ is the final messenger, done. There are two angels and they are, I believe in the angels, and they are monitoring what I do. That's done. I'm going to my grave and I'm going to be judged. That's done. There's a Jahannam and a Jannah. There's no discussion. The dominant things that should inform our life are the things that we understand from wahi. We should study our deen. We should internalize our deen. We should be grateful for the knowledge that has been given to us. We should internalize that. And we should act upon it. Because without that, we are lost. We are lost. What makes us unique is that we have knowledge that others don't. And it is absolute. And in this day and age, it just shocks me that we've reached the pinnacle of human knowledge, but we're so ignorant. We've reached the pinnacle of human knowledge, but we're so ignorant of the reality that exists around us. Everyone has deemed this world to be sort of the place of permanence, and everyone is passing from this place. This is one of the benefits of knowledge. There's so many benefits of knowledge, and over the next few weeks, inshallah, we'll be talking about various aspects of knowledge. But the first and foremost point to recognize is that Allah has created multiple modes of knowledge. One is through the five senses, one is through the intellect, and then beyond that is the wahi or the revelation. And we have been given the ultimate blessing. We have a wahi or a revelation that's preserved. That's the only deen on the planet, by the way, that has a wahi that is preserved. And the beauty of our wahi is that it comprises of two parts, the Quran and the Sunnah, through the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, and both are preserved, which is a whole other topic of discussion. But it's best that we start to appreciate this enormous gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And that we put ample time and energy into gathering and understanding and learning that important knowledge that we've been blessed with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes to the reality of the passing nature of this world. May He allow us to internalize the knowledge of our deen. May He place us in the company of our scholars. And may He allow us to sit in their gathering so that we can better understand how we can please our Lord and how we can avoid displeasing our Lord. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.